Text for this Sunday is from the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, or Isaiah rather. Isaiah, I'll be reading from the 61st chapter. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display His glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. And I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offsprings among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. Amen. The Scriptures teach us that in the beginning God created all that has been created. And when He got to the end of His creation, the last thing that He created was the most important. He created us. And there were two things in the mind of God when He created human beings. One is that He created us for Himself, that He could have fellowship with people that could appreciate and enjoy the wonders of His creation. And secondly, He created us for each other. We would not be alone, but that we would be a part of a community, and that we would be in relationship one with another. Sometimes it's helpful to think about what God has done if you think about a pyramid. God's at the top. He's at the top. He's at the center. And because of the love of God flowing down to one side, there you are in this relationship that God has created you to be in with Him. And then across the bottom on a horizontal plane, there's other people. And God has caused you to be in a relationship with them just as He has caused them to be in a relationship with Him. So it's like a pyramid. We're all, each of us, going up to God, and then we're relating one to another. If you look at all relationships that are strained and that are broken, that strain, that brokenness in relationship begins when we let our relationship with God become strained or broken. Look at the story of Adam and Eve in the Bible. When they put themselves and their ideas ahead of God, they ended up with a broken relationship. Look at their children, Cain and Abel, and the dysfunction, and even the murder that came into that family. And stop and think about your own life, the difficulties that have come and flowed into your life with regard to other people, and also circumstances that you have to walk through. If you look closely, you'll find that one or two things happened. You got out of fellowship with God, you stopped walking with the Lord, and that affected your relationship. It might be with a husband, it might be with a child, it might be with a parent, it might be with a co-worker, it may be with a neighbor. But because of when your relationship with God was strained or broken, you stopped walking with God, It affects everything else, every other relationship that you have. And as people that are close to you and near to you, as they fell out of relationship with God, as they stopped walking with God, their relationship with you broke, or it was strained, or it became hurtful. God wants us to have a relationship with Him that is real, and that it's authentic, that it's genuine, and He wants us to have relationships with one another that are the same way, that same quality, that they're real, that they're authentic, that they're genuine. They're not superficial, but they're deep, that they have meaning. God calls you and I together as a church to represent Him to the world of what God wants to have. And what we exhibit, what we model, what we live in our life, in our relationship with God and one another, becomes a model for the rest of the world. At this time of the year, I think that this truth that I'm talking about this morning is so very important, because so much of the world is looking to the church to understand the meaning of Jesus, to understand the meaning of Christmas. I was reading the other day a commentary that somebody put out about the younger people in the world today and what they're looking for in the church. And by younger people, I mean people 30 to 35 and down. What they're looking for with regard to the church. Now, people, old people like me, I'm probably looking for the same thing, but this is really true of the younger people. They say that what they want out of a church is a genuine, real relationship. Not superficial, where we shake hands in the middle of the aisle, and that can be at times superficial, but a relationship that can include shaking hands in the middle of the aisle, but also go from the doors of this church into the neighborhood and where these people live and they work and they play. They want something that is real, that is deep. You see this when you look at movements like Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers is sweeping across this country. This year, 1,200,000 men went to football stadiums to spend 2 days in praise and worship of God. We can't get that many men generally in a church, but they'll go to a stadium. And when I was there with both of my sons in New Orleans this summer, I found that easily half of the people there were 35 years old or younger. What is there about this group that appeals to them that these people generally have not been in the church until maybe after they go to a Promise Keepers event? What they're finding is authenticity. People being real. Not having to cover up. Not having to hide from their feelings. But to recognize that we have feelings, some are good, some are bad, we struggle, we have difficulty, we need help from one another. What's happening is these men are coming back from these stadium events and they're developing relationships one with another in small groups. My oldest son David, when he got back, within 2 weeks after he came back, he was connected into a small group at his church. They meet twice a month. And he goes in to have prayer and Bible study with these men before he goes to work, twice a month, on Thursday evenings. People are looking for something that's real, and that it's authentic, and genuine. Now, I say all that to us as a church, because as we come into this time of the year, we want to remember that this special time of the year that we're in right now, in the church, is that we call this Advent. Well, we're looking ahead to the birth of the Christ, but right now we're looking ahead to the truth. Jesus came once, and we expect Him to come again, and to establish His kingdom on this earth where we'll all live together in peace and in harmony and in right relationships one with another and with our God. And God is calling the church, you and I, to prepare for that kingdom to come. And so the question to the church is today, as all the world is looking at Christmas, what do you and I have, what can we do together and say to this world about the meaning of Jesus coming into the world that shows how real and how authentic Jesus is? When I read the passage this morning from Isaiah, did you hear what the mission of Jesus was? You know, this is the passage, the one that I read this morning. This is the passage that Jesus claimed for Himself right after He was baptized. When He went to His home church in Nazareth, He stood up and He read from the scroll what we call Isaiah 61. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I've come to set the captives free. I've come to set the oppressed free. I've come to bind up the brokenhearted, and I've come to do it right now," He said. This is being fulfilled as you hear these words. And Jesus began a ministry of building real relationships again with among people. First, that they're connected to their God through the gift of salvation, the gift of God's grace, and that allows us to be connected one to another. That was the mission of Jesus, and He's commissioned you and I to continue with that mission until He comes again, to show the world how you build authentic, genuine, real relationships that are deep and meaningful and meet the true needs of our life. Now, all this that I have said so far is by way of introduction that I want to suggest to you three things that can be in the mind of all of us throughout this holiday season, this Christmas season. If we'll keep these three things in mind, I believe it will enhance our witness to the world around us about how Jesus has come to build the real relationships that people are looking for. The first thing I would suggest to you is simplicity. We live in a world that is highly competitive, very materialistic, very consumer-oriented. Jesus came in humility. He was born in a manger in a stable. And you and I need to fight the temptation to prove how much we love each other by buying expensive gifts that we can't afford. We need to resist the temptation of making sure that our kids have everything that everybody else's kids have so they won't feel left out. All we're doing is feeding the desires of the flesh. We're not lifting up the Spirit of God when we let ourselves get caught up in the commercialism of this materialistic, competitive society that you and I live in. The Word of God to the church is to live simply, to be genuine, to be authentic. So as you share in the Christmas season, the things that you're doing, the way you're communicating with your friends and your family, the call of the church is to simply express your love of God and the truth in your life of the songs that we sing, that we've come to adore Jesus, and that He's the center of our life, and that we can express our love and our care for other people in simple ways. Give them the gift of our time and our presence with them, just personally being there for them. I'm not saying that we shouldn't share with one another. Of course we should. But let's share out of what we can really afford, not out of our credit cards, so that we have to spend 20% interest next year paying for things that we couldn't afford just to prove to somebody that we love them. Folks, that doesn't prove anything except that we're more caught up in the world than we are caught up in the Spirit of God. If we want to show the world the authentic, genuine love of Christ, we can do it in the simple ways of expressing our care one for another. The second word that I want you to keep with you throughout the holiday season is that the church is called to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came as a baby, but He grew up as a man. And as a man, He was baptized. And as a man, He began His ministry to set the oppressed free, to set the captives free. And while I love all the manger scenes that we see, that are created at this time of the year, let us remember the baby grew up. He became a man. And that man has a claim on our life. And it's the ministry of the man that changed our life. I shared with you all last Sunday about how my friend Carol and I were participating in the living Christmas story last Thursday night that the Killarn Church puts on. And I know Sherry and her family came through, and I saw some others. And if you haven't been out there to see it, you get one more chance. It starts at 6:45 tonight. And I would really commend you again to go there and enjoy that experience. What they do is through 10 or 11 different scenes with real people and full costumes, is they take you through the whole Christmas story, beginning with the Annunciation, where Gabriel comes to tell Mary she's going to bear a child, to the angels appearing before the shepherds, to all the people in the marketplace, to King Herod greeting the wise men, to the innkeepers not letting Joseph and Mary in. And then they have a gorgeous nativity scene. But what's the last thing you see as you turn the last corner on that church property? You see the spotlight on the empty cross. Jesus became a man and died for you and I. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins. We want to magnify Jesus during the Christmas holidays. Yes, it's marvelous what God does. God put flesh on His love and sent Jesus to be called Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus did come to be a part of us. But He became a man. He ministered to us. He set the captives free. And we want to remember that. He's not a cute baby in a manger. But He's Lord of lords, King of kings, and has a claim on our life. So we want to remember to be simple, to simplify our expressions. We also want to magnify Jesus. And the third thing that I want to suggest that we do is that we glorify Jesus. We glorify Jesus. All of us are going to be like the world in just a few days. Come Christmas time, we're going to have friends and we're going to have family in. We'll have a Christmas tree. We'll have presents under the tree. We'll have a Christmas dinner. Let me ask you this. What will be different about your celebration of Christmas? What will be different about your celebration? And for the vast majority of the other people that celebrate Christmas but aren't members of the church and don't know Jesus as their Savior, how are we different? It may be in the music that we listen to. They sing, you know, listen to I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, which is okay, or Here Comes Santa Claus, that's okay. But in your home, will you be listening to O Holy Night? Oh, come all you faithful. I mean, that's one way that we can glorify Christ. But what are other ways that you can glorify Christ in the celebrations in your home among your friends that reveal to the world that you're a witness for Jesus Christ who came to set the captives free? Or are we going to be just like the rest of the world? God calls us to glorify Jesus. Now, let me share how this thought really came into my life, and God convicted me. Among my family, I'm about the only one that attends church on a regular basis. And I generally make it most Sundays. And therefore, every time we have Thanksgiving or Christmas or big family gatherings, I'm the designated prayer. Didn't ask for that honor, but they just assumed that maybe I'm on better terms with the Almighty than they are. So I'm always asked to pray. Sometimes I feel put upon. Because, you know, people that it's not enough, it's not important enough to them to go to church and to be a part of the church, but somehow they think they ought to pray, and since I go to church, I ought to pray for them. And I remember last Christmas, we're sitting out at my brother's house, and we've got all of our nephews and nieces and kids, and it's everywhere, people. And it's time to eat the turkey, and it's time to pray, and they want me to pray. And I get an attitude. I get my grandson to pray. And he offers a nice little prayer, and I thought that was real cute. Not long ago, some months ago, the Lord reminded me of that in a very simple way. He said, "Son, if you're not going to glorify me there, who will?" They've invited you in. They want to hear what you have to say. They want you to offer thanks. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? I've put you there to glorify me. What do you say? You say, yes, sir. I'm sorry. It won't happen again. And I can tell you that this year I'm looking forward to it. They may not ask me again after this year because I'm subject to preach before we eat. The turkey may get cold. And I don't think so. But I do think this, that it won't just be a mumbled prayer to get it over with. But it'll be an opportunity for me to glorify my Savior about how much I love my Jesus and how much He's done for me and for my kids and for my family in this last year, and how much it means to be together with all of my family and to celebrate not only family, but to celebrate Jesus, who can truly bind us together in a real relationship. And some of you understand when I say that when you know Jesus, you can be closer to people that you used to call friends than you are to your own blood relatives. That's what the power of Jesus can do in your life. When you're connected to Jesus, and then you're connected to other people who are connected to Jesus, it builds a deep and abiding, loving relationship. The world around us is lost. We need to remember that. There's a lot of folks that don't know Jesus. A lot of folks that don't know Jesus around us. They're looking to you and I to show them the real, the genuine, the authentic meaning of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus coming in the flesh. How can we show them this in real and meaningful ways? I would suggest that we can do it through the simplicity of our expressions of love and adoration for God and one another, and resist the temptation to get caught up in the ways of the world. I suggest that we can do it by magnifying that Jesus indeed is the reason for the season, and the reason is that He lived and that He died and that He was raised from the dead for our salvation. We magnify this baby Jesus. And then thirdly, we glorify in our own life and in our own homes, we glorify Jesus. We glorify that He indeed is our Lord and that our Savior. And that it's special for us to celebrate His birth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we recall this morning that You told us to come into the world, but not to be a part of the world. We're here, just like Jesus was, to witness. And we can go anywhere that You send us. But everywhere we go, we're the ones that can magnify and glorify the good news that Christ has come to set the captives free. And we're some of the captives that have been set free by the love of Christ. We've experienced the forgiveness of our sins, the infilling of the Spirit, the joy of walking hand in hand with You, Father. Grant us grace and power not to be reluctant witnesses, but that we may glorify our Lord and our Savior throughout this holiday season. This is our prayer. In the name of the One who indeed came to set the captives free, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.